Father, we bless your name. Thank you for the strength you've given us thus far. Thank you for all that you have taught and you are still teaching us. But we thank you for the gift of marriage and the privilege of setting us who were once upon a time solitary in families. Thank you for as many as are trusting you for that gift and that privilege. But we commit this solemn moment into your hands. We ask that lead us in the path of righteousness for your great name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can hear me, I'll be happy to get an amen from you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Sees
Amen.
for us in Jesus' name. Our message is titled Fellowship, Faithfulness, and Forgiveness in the Family. Fellowship, faithfulness, and forgiveness in the family. Turn with me to Psalm 128 as we read from the verse number one. Blessed, happy. And this word also means to be envied is everyone that fears the Lord, not feared the Lord 20 years ago, but he still does it. She still does it. A fearers the Lord, not walked in the past in his ways and is now being governed by the principles of the world, but walketh in his ways. He still does it. For thou shalt, if you fulfill verse one, verse two might just happen, not you may. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be. Amen. It shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children, like olive plants, run about thy table. Behold, consider this. This is amazing. That thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord, that husband that still feareth the Lord. Thus shall that man be blessed. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. In the passage we just read, the Lord has shown us the constituents of a family. We see the man, we see the wife, we see the children, and you see how everything comes together as a unit. You know, the importance of the family to God cannot be underestimated and overemphasized. It is the primary, the first, the basic social grouping in every nation. And God intended it that this family of his own making will become the nursery from which the nucleus of the church, the society, and the state will be transplanted. The condition of any church, therefore, any society, and any nation is a direct reflection of the condition of the families. When God rules in families, when God is exalted in families, that reflection will be seen in the church. It will be seen in society at large and the nation. But when that familiar foe of families, the devil, takes over families, the influence also. We see the complaining in our streets, as the scriptures say. For any family to function as the maker, as the originator, as the author of marriage and family intended, there are three key indispensable ingredients and elements that should be observed. Number one, faithfulness ought to be the bedrock of that family. Faithfulness. Without it, there is no foundation in that marriage and in that family. Fellowship is what beautifies the family. What makes it beautiful? The fellowship. And when offenses come, I didn't say if, when there will be offenses in marriage. When cracks begin to develop in the marriage and in the family, it is forgiveness that will bind the family together. And I pray that the Lord will give us Christian families, Christian homes, in Jesus' name. The family circle, therefore, as Drummond tells us, is the supreme conductor of Christianity. It is that which shows whether indeed we are who we claim to be. Now let's look at fellowship. Fellowship, the beauty of the Christian family. We are not just talking about any family. We are not just talking about any marriage. We are talking about the Christian family. Fellowship beautifies that family. Turn with me to Psalm 133. Psalm 33. Behold. Good days. This is wonderful. It's amazing how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to say, but this is for church. But don't forget that the family is the first basic fundamental church. And we know from the scriptures that God's purpose is that a believer will marry a fellow believer. And so wife and husband, they are brethren in that family. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And the opposite is also true. How bad, how unpleasant it is for so-called brethren to dwell together. They are together, they are dwelling, but they are in disunity because the fellowship is gone and broken. And the Lord tells us that in the family where fellowship is as beautiful as this, the results will be verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. The husband, the father, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Father to the mother. And then verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Mount Hermon collected dew, and it descended down that mountain, and the soil below beneath Mount Hermon is always green because that place is always wet. And when the husband and the wife, father and mother, allow God to rule, to have his rightful place in that home, that anointing, that dew will descend upon the entire family. How I pray the Lord will make our marriages so, and our homes will be Christian homes to his glory when we allow the fellowship of God to. Well, what do we mean by fellowship? What are we talking about? Let's break it down. Fellowship. When we say the family ought to be a fellowship, it means that it is a fellowship. It is a ship of fellows. My wife is my fellow. The husband is a fellow. The children are fellows. It's that fellow feeling should be there. It's not a master-servant relationship. It's a fellowship. And there will be empathy and encouragement in the fellowship. Will see love there, if indeed there is a fellowship. And what kind of love are we talking about? What kind of love is the scriptures alluding to? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading there from verse 4. Charity, that's another word for love, suffereth long. Not suffered long, suffereth. In the past, yes, I still suffer. It's a long suffering. It's endurance. And it's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunted not itself. This word vaunted here means does not brag. Love is not a braggart. Of bragging about social status and position and education, vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. That puffed up here, it means it's not arrogant. Arrogance destroys fellowship. Does not behave itself unseemly. The unseemly here means rudely. Rude behavior, rude position destroys fellowship in the family. It disturbs the love. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, in the truth, in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That is the kind of love the Lord is calling us to. If there is fellowship, there will be laughter in the family. Have you loved this week? I didn't say today, this week. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It shouldn't be, so serious a place that we can't even laugh together in the home. Laughter is part of fellowship. All these, serious, morose faces and all that. It's already too dark in winter. We need to brighten the home with a little laughter, and more would be better. Well, the Bible says, jesting, and I don't want to jest. Look at that verse very well. It says, jesting which are not convenient. There is a qualification. Some jesting and convenient. But we should laugh in the home. Is a fellowship and a fellowship, but obedience must clothe the home. Obedience to God and obedience to the captain of the ship. Because it is, although it is fellows in the ship, if the ship has no captain, it will wreck. It will suffer shipwreck. And so there is authority the Lord has set in the home, and that has to be obeyed. Obedience to God and obedience to the authority the Lord has established in the home. 1 John the chapter is 1 and the verse is 5. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and our first fellowship is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, whatever we are talking about, all the love and all the things that spices our marriage, they should be subsumed and subjugated to the obedience of God. And anything that will break the fellowship husband has, wife has with God should be frowned at. And you want to make fellowship with God as number one priority. In all decisions, in all, steps we take, God first in the family. Our fellowship is first with God. What a pity it is for the captain of that ship to always be steering the ship in the wrong direction. It is only the fellowship time with God that suffers in the family. On a Sunday, when the captain should mobilize and take the fellows, to the almighty fellow, we are going to the beach. Your first fellowship is with God. We want to have some fun together. Yeah, it's good to have fun with your wife. Recreation is good with your family, but hey, God first in every step we take. So we don't allow the human fellowship to break our fellowship with God. And if you are privileged to be the one, the captain of that home, of that ship, make sure you are steering the ship towards heaven and towards God. and not in that. And you may not be the captain, but you see the ship is headed in the wrong direction. Don't allow that ship to wreck. If the captain is sleeping, awake the captain. Because if the ship wrecks, you will suffer the consequences. I pray our homes will not run aground, and God will indeed have his rightful place. Our fellowship is with him. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In the fellowship, as we have said, obedience to God, obedience to the captain, and worship as we dare see. God first in our family. And submission. Submission. Yeah, it's a fellowship. It's a fellowship. But remember, the ship needs a captain. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, the verse is 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection, be in submission to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the conduct, the lifestyle of the wives. While they behold your chaste, godly conversation coupled with fear, not slavish fear, but reverential fear for God, whose adorning, whose dressing, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel outside decoration is good to look nice, but that's not what really matters. Verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, the jewelry of a meek and quiet spirit. Where do we buy that from? Which boutique sells that? The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That is what should beautify a Christian woman. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. Are you, how many carats of diamond ring are you looking for? Of necklace are you looking for? Gold plated this and gold. This was designer something. No, earlier in the week. A dress Princess Diana wore in the 80s was sold for more than $1 million. I'm not exaggerating. More than $1 million. Great price. There are some designer clothes that are very expensive. But this ornament of a meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God is the most expensive jewel you can wear. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, you know, the world is going vintage and retro. You know, people are going back for the things of old, you know. The phones are getting bigger. I want a smaller phone. They are going back. But Christians don't want to come back. The old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves in being subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter she are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Said, Pastor, preacher, my wife should hear this. Is it recorded? Yes. Wait, let's get to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. My wife is not honoring me. I'm sorry, but honor is also mutual. Giving honor to the wife, bro, giving honor unto the wife is also in the scriptures, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Remember, our fellowship is first with God. And if the Lord is saying, if we fail in this, our duty, look at how interesting. The woman said, we didn't hear, our prayers will not be hindered. But when it got to our turn, the minister said, that your prayers be not hindered. The fellowship. We'll be happy when there is fellowship and where there is fellowship. And if there is fellowship, we will interact. Communication is completely broken down in the home. Because of this hurried and busy life, because of the nature, of how we are even earning our bread. So many shifts here and there. And husband and wife, they are running shifts. As husband is coming in, wife is going out. Husband is coming in. It was an interesting story I heard when the children were asked, where is daddy? So, no, daddy doesn't live here. He only comes here. It's not that the daddy has a different room, but they only see daddy only on a sunset occasion. He only comes here. He doesn't live here. The Lord will help us. We will make time for communication and interaction. Patience is very crucial to fellowship. Very, very crucial to fellowship. And we need it in our home. We need it in the home. Some fellows in the ship may be weak. They may not measure up to the standard. They may have one failing or the other. That's where patience comes in. And that's where we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. You saw the word endurance. That word actually means patience also. Let's come to faithfulness. Faithfulness, the bedrock of the Christian family. Faithfulness, the bedrock of the Christian family. Hebrews 13. The verse is 4. Hebrews 13. The verse is 4. Marriage is honorable in all. In other words, marriage is to be honored by all. It has to be treated with reverence because it is from God. And the bed should be kept undefiled. The bed undefiled. Those who reject this command and they will play the whore. And they will go into adultery. God will judge. It's that simple and plain. Those who are unfaithful to their marital vows, God will judge. Faithfulness is required. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And if indeed Marriage came from God. He's the author. Then we are stewards of that gift he has given to us. And faithfulness is then required. In Malachi, the chapter is 2 and the verse is 14. Malachi chapter 2, the verse is 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, unfaithfully. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. He wants our children, our offspring to be godly. Therefore, take heed to your spirits and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Let none play the tricks. Let none attempt to outsmart. Let none, seem to beat the wife, deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, said he hated putting away. That's another word for divorce. For one covereth violence with his coming, says the Lord of hosts. Take heed therefore to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Now, there's a version, contemporary version of this passage that reads like this from verse 14. And why isn't God pleased? It's because he knows that each of you men has been unfaithful to the wife you married when you were young. You promised that she will be your partner, but now you have broken that promise. Verse 15 says, didn't God create you and your wife to become like one person? And why did he do this? It was so you would have children and then lead them to become God's people. Don't ever be unfaithful to your wife. And then verse 16 says, the Lord God, all-powerful of Israel, hates anyone who is cruel enough to divorce his wife. The Lord God, all-powerful of Israel, hates anyone who is cruel enough to divorce his wife and who is cruel enough to divorce his husband. And then it concludes, so take care never to be unfaithful. It is the bedrock of the home. God demands mutual faithfulness in the family. It's not a woman who is supposed to be faithful to the marital bed and marital vows, and the man can monkey around. Mutual faithfulness. And what do we mean by being faithful? Where there is faithfulness, there will be fairness and there will be fidelity. We will honor our obligations and duties. Will see appreciation and we will see accommodation. Accommodation, tolerating each other, shifting a little. There will be intimacy and integrity. There will be intimacy and there will be integrity. Proverbs chapter 5. The verse is 15. Proverbs 5, the verse is 15. Drink waters out of thy own cistern, my brother. Drink waters out of thy own cistern, my sister, and running waters out of thy own well. You married and you are married. All other suitors have no place, and you have no place in your home and in your heart. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thy own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind, that's another word for deer, and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished, be thou intoxicated, always with her love. Let her breasts, only her, that is the only one you are qualified to touch, and if you touch any other one, you are defiling that marital bed. Maybe you are not touching physically, but you are touching virtually. You are browsing and watching strange women. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, whatever state it is. Whether it is new or old, be ravished with her love. My wife is getting old, and I need my husband is no longer, you know, as strong as he used to be. I need to look for an option. Warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. And we are told a question is given to us in verse 20. Why would thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? A child of God, ravished with a strange man, a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger. Why? Why? That's unfaithfulness. You think, oh, my wife doesn't see it. Woman, she's not smart enough. I know how to beat her. Oh, my husband is so trusting. Look at verse 21. For the ways of men and of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Your husband may not know, your wife may not know, but the ways of man and of a woman, they are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Faithfulness is required. Intimacy and integrity. Trust and truthfulness. Why are you hiding? And what are you hiding from your wife and from your husband? You have told so much lies that your husband can no longer trust you, your wife can no longer trust you. You have made a huge withdrawal from your trust bank account. Now, even now, when you are telling the truth, you are not believed. Now, who caused them? The Lord. That broken trust. So now you speak to your husband, and your husband say, "Are you sure? Are you saying before God a man?" Because the trust is broken because of the lies and dishonesty. Faithfulness will mean we are humble. It's not puffed up. And honesty is there. No matters, including Ra, money management. We are friends. Look at this image in your shot. We are friends. Friendliness. But where we need to be firm, we are firm. He rejoices in the truth. And if your husband is telling a lie, then you say, "Ah, that's my man. He's very smart." Rejoices in the truth. There is unity and understanding. Unity in the home. There is loyalty to the marital vows. Richard Baxter is telling us that if family religion were duly attended to and properly discharged, I think the preaching of the word will not be the common instrument of conversion. In other words, telling us that if we do this in our homes, we will be Bibles enough for the world. I pray the Lord helps us to measure up to his standard in Jesus' name. Let's wrap up with forgiveness, the binder of the Christian family. Forgiveness, the binder of the Christian. In Luke chapter 17, the verses 1, then said he unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. And in marriage there will be many. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come." I say, yeah. And didn't you read Luke 17? They say offenses will come. But woe also unto him, unto her, through whom they come. It were better for that individual always using this verse as an excuse. For him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, "I repent," thou shalt forgive him. And that woman is always coming and say, "I'm sorry. And the man said, "Please give me another chance. Thou shalt forgive you." And then look at the prayer in verse 5. The apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith." If we should handle offenses like this would be your prayer. Lord, increase my faith. be able to handle this. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, and they will come in marriage. It must needs be that offenses come. But don't make an excuse out of this. Woe to that man, to that woman by whom they offend. Amen. Let's jump to verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? Lord, how oft shall my husband sin against me? How oft shall my wife sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. It's not even up to one talent. 10,000 talents forgiven. He owed him 100 pence. And he lays hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The very word he used for his big debt, and he was forgiven. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. The 10,000 that had been written off was brought back. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts, not if you forgive not, but from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother and their trespasses. Forgive not everyone her husband and his trespasses. Forgive not everyone his wife and her trespasses. Brothers and sisters, offenses will come in marriage. But forgiveness is the perfect binder when everything seems to be crumbling, when offenses set in. That is a more excellent way. It is not the threat of divorce and separation. There is a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is forgiveness. Because we owed God so much, and he wrote our debt off. And our 10,000 talents off, we can forgive the 100 pence. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. There are some things in your marriage that will make you angry. No pretense about that. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't allow that anger to fester and escalate into sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, husband and wife. Settle it. Settle it. Don't bottle it. Settle it. Neither give place to the devil. Let's jump to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let a competition about who could dish the dirtiest insult come to an end. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Minister grace unto the hearers. When you speak, do they minister grace to your husband, to your wife? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness in the marriage and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, malice is when, you know, someone has offended anyone, you are just ruminating, just thinking, well, how can I even pay this woman back in a, how, what can I do that will I mean, how to do what she did to me. And you are just planning how to execute that thing. And you are the thought of foolishness, the Bible says, is sin. Forgive, bro. And be ye kind one to another. Abraham told Lot, let there not be strife between us. We are brethren. Remember your wife, your husband, the two of you are brethren. Be ye kind to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3, the verses 19. Colossians 3, the verses 19. 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them. What are we supposed to forgive? The faults and the failures. Everybody has one. Forgive. The oppression and the opposition. You feel oppressed in that home. It's no longer a home, it's like a prison. Oppression, forgive. The rejections. Rejections. We were talking about intimacy a while ago. You are receiving constant rejection from your husband. I'm tired. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. That's unfaithfulness. But if you are the one who has suffered these rejections, please forgive. Rancor, bitterness, and anger. Forgive. The grudges and the grumbling. You are doing your best, but your best doesn't seem to be enough. Grumbling. The insults And then in subordination, you have had to endure. Forgive. The violence you have had to suffer. It's a shame that a brother, a sister will strike the husband or wife. The hands that when your wife or your husband is sick, you will lay it on him or her and pray for them. You are defiling that hand. Forgive. And if you are the perpetrator, repent. Woe unto him. The victimization. Maybe your in-laws have ganged up together and your husband is spearheading that. And you are at the receiving end of the victimization. It is your wife and your in-laws who have company to make your life difficult. Forgive. Forgive the emotional abuse you have suffered. Me, I will not beat you so that you call police on me. The heavenly police is watching. The emotional abuse, insult, the intimidation, the threats. That's emotional abuse. You are not physically touching the person, but you are killing the person psychologically. I'm sorry if you have been at the receiving end of this. And if you are the perpetrator, repent. Forgive the egotism, the selfishness. In their marriage. Let's wrap up with First Peter. The chapter is 3, verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering, be pitiful, be courteous. It just, you don't even need to be a Christian to do this. It just basic thing to do. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, insult for insult, tit for tat. So I believe in the Mosaic law. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. D.L. Moody is telling us that forgiveness is not that strive we say, I will forgive, but not forget. It is not to bury the hatchet with the handle sticking out of the ground, so you can grasp it in the minute you want it. Say you are forgiven, but you're always bringing it back, always making reference to it. That's not forgiveness. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Pastor, please take it up.
Brothers and sisters, we want to come before God. It's a timely message that we've heard, a message that we cannot just depart from like that. It's a message that we need to attend to prayerfully. I want us to come before God with introspection, looking at our lives, looking at our conducts in our families. How have we conducted ourselves? Let's open our mouths before the Lord. Let's open our hearts before God. It's time to pour our heart before God because He ponders our ways, all our ways, all our attitudes, all our going-ons, all the happenings in our homes. They are open and naked before God. Why not come before Him and say, God, here I am before you. I present myself. with nothing to bring, simply I come. Let's pray and present ourselves before the Almighty God. We've been challenged on three fundamental pillars of the family. We've been reminded about fellowship. Let's pray that God will bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Let's pray that the Almighty God will help us to walk in fellowship, to walk in unity, one with another. Always present ourselves before God, my brother, as a man of the house. Are we walking in fellowship? We have a reason to pray. We have a reason to seek the mercy of God as the husband of the wife. Always present ourselves before God and pray, God, bind us together in sweet fellowship. Or as the wife, present yourself before God and say, God, help me that we'll be able to walk in fellowship. Our children are here. Children, let's present ourselves before God and pray that God will help us, that we will be part of the fellowship of the home, we'll encourage the fellowship in the house. Always pray that there will be sweet fellowship in the home, sweet fellowship in the home. All those things that have come in to affect, to hinder our fellowship, let's present them before the Almighty God. We have been reminded that the family is a supreme conductor of Christianity. If our faith is not reflected in our families, we have failed. Oh, let's pray, brothers and sisters, let's present ourselves before God. We are praying for fellowship in our homes, the things that hinder and distort our fellowship, the things that enable us, that do not allow us to be one with another. Let's pray that the Almighty God will take away all those things that eat into the fellowship. We've been reminded that we are fellowships. We are traveling together on this journey of life. We've been reminded from the word of God that we are co-heirs of eternal life. Ah, we want to pray, brothers and sisters, we want to pray. How difficult it would be if we are fighting one another in the home, how hard it would be for us to make it on that final day. We want to pray that let there be fellowship that will help us to have empathy and encouragement towards one another. Oh, let's pray that there will be love in our homes, the love that will help to strengthen our bond. Oh, let there be laughter, the joy of the Lord in the home. We want to present ourselves before God. Let's open our mouths and cry on behalf of our families. Oh, let's pray, brothers and sisters, presenting our families before God. We have a few minutes to pray, but let's make this moment to count. Let's pray that God will change our homes where there's need for change. The fellowship, that God will restore it wherever it has been broken. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. As we continue to pray, we want to pray for faithfulness. We have been told that faithfulness is the bedrock of the Christian family. You know, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We want to pray that, oh God, you've told us that it is required in stewards to be found faithful. We are stewards of our marriage. As a husband, you are the steward of your marriage. As a wife, you are the stewardess of your marriage. Pray and present yourself before God and say, God, give me the grace to be faithful. There are many ways in which unfaithfulness can come in. We want to pray. We want to call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, give me the grace to be faithful, to walk faithfully all the days of our lives here on earth. Oh, pray and present yourself before God. All the things that may make us vulnerable to unfaithfulness, let's present them before God and say, God, this bedrock of faithfulness, you strengthen it in our homes. You build our homes on the bedrock of faithfulness. Oh, we were challenged and we are told that if the family were duly attended to and properly discharged, we are told that the preaching of the word would actually not be the main way, meaning that if the family, there's faithfulness, the spread of the gospel would flow unhindered. Oh, let's pray. Let's present ourselves before God. It's not of our own strength. It's not of our own power. It is by the mercy of God that we can walk in faithfulness. Oh, pray that the Spirit of the Lord will strengthen us in faithfulness as a family, that God will help us in our families. There will be faithfulness. Oh, present yourself before God and say, God, we need this faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. We are told and we are reminded on the necessity of forgiveness. And the word of God has made it very clear that offenses will come, no matter how spiritual, no matter how long we've been married, offenses at some point are going to come. We want to pray and say, God, give me the grace not to be the source of the offense. We are not to take it for granted that no, after all, the Bible says offenses will come. Remember, our pastor read to us the full implications of that passage. It says, but woe unto him by whom the offenses come. Are you that one in the family that you are always the cause of offense? You are always the one offending. You offend your wife, you offend your children. In fact, everybody is afraid of you in the house because you are a moving offense. Oh, why not pray? Why not pray and say, God, help me. Oh, God, help me that I will not be the source of offense. Present yourself before God. The implications, the judgment is severe for the one that brings offense. Oh, pray and ask the Lord to help you. Oh, dear sister, pray. Are you the one that will, the moment you open your mouth, everybody is offended? The children are offended. Your husband is offended. Oh, why not present yourself before God? Why not pray and ask God that God will help you not to be the cause of offense, that offenses will not come because of you? Present yourself before the Lord. Cry and ask for the grace of God. Cry and ask for the mercy of God this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. The word of God has told us that if ye do not forgive men their offenses, our Father in heaven will also not forgive us. We want to pray. Sometimes the offense may be so deep that it's difficult to forgive, but the grace of God is sufficient. Are there some offenses in our homes that we've been struggling to forgive? Why not pray and ask that the grace of God will give you the strength to forgive and forget, to forgive and let it go, to forgive and not use that offense as a means of attacking one another? Why not pray and ask that God will strengthen your grace? The grace of God will be multiplied in you. The grace of God will enable you to forgive and to let it go. That once you are forgiven, you are not going to pick that thing again. The hatchet is buried completely. You cannot see it anymore. Let's pray and ask for the grace to forgive. Because if we do not forgive, our own forgiveness is in question. Or present yourself before God and say, God, give me the grace to forgive. Give me the strength to forgive. Offenses are definitely going to come. Oh, we pray that God will give us the grace to forgive, the grace to bury the hatchet, to forgive and to forget about it. Oh, that we are not going to use one another's faults against each other. That when we say we've forgotten, months later we are saying, remember you did this one. Pray and ask that the grace of God will abound towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Father, we bless you for the things that you have told us. Almighty God, we ask and pray that these things that you've taught us will be engraved in our homes in Jesus' name. And as we sang, O Lord, and as we've heard, O Lord, on the forgiveness, on the fellowship, on the faithfulness, we pray that all these virtues will be confirmed in our lives in Jesus' name. O Lord, we know that if we cannot live in peace with one another here on earth, it will be questionable as to whether we can make it on that final day. And so, Lord, we ask that you help us. Where we have stumbled as a family, you strengthen us. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be faithfulness. Let there be fellowship. Let the joy of the Lord flow in our families in Jesus' name. And for your servant that you have used to minister to us, oh Lord, we pray that you renew his strength, that you strengthen him even the more, that you continue to be a vessel that will strengthen and build the body of Christ in this country. Be glorified, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to hear your amen if you are there.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Very wonderful.
Amen.